All right, we're going to continue on with our seven divisions of the day of the Lord, and now we're looking at the day of trouble, which we call the seven-year tribulation period. We already looked at the verse there in 1 Thessalonians 5. And if you want from there, look in Jeremiah chapter 30. Prophet Jeremiah in chapter 30. Look in Jeremiah chapter 30, beginning in verse 5. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Well, that's a silly thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
A man travailing with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he, Jacob, shall be saved out of it. Israel, right? So we're looking here at that day of the time of Jacob's trouble, and that's the tribulation period. That's Daniel's 70th week of prophecy coming to pass. Look in Ezekiel, right after Jeremiah and Lamentations, Ezekiel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7, and look in verse 6. An end is come. The end is come. It watcheth for thee. Behold, it is come. The morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come. The day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee, and accomplish mine anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense thee for all thine abominations. What does he call it? The day of trouble. That's part of the day of the Lord. It's the day of trouble. Tribulation means trouble. That's what the word means. And that is, so when we're talking about the tribulation, we're talking about a period of trouble. Look in Zephaniah. Zephaniah, see how long it takes you to find Zephaniah. Y'all, you with tab Bibles acting like you're doing something. It's right after Habakkuk. Okay, how about this? It's right before Haggai. Still doesn't help, huh? Okay.
So back there in Jeremiah 30,
huh?
Is that when the homosexuals are the married queers are going to have babies?
Now, I see he's talking about a man, you know. Yeah, it's not what it's talking about, but they probably wish that's what it's talking about, but no, that's not it. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near, and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. All right, that day that we're looking at there is a reference to the tribulation period coming upon the whole earth. Now, at the end of the tribulation period, you're still in the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord here is a reference to the day of the Lord or the day of the Lord's wrath. And this is when the Lord's cup is full. Lord's long-suffering. But eventually, it's full. And Jesus Himself is going to come back to this earth. And when He comes back, He's not coming back as a suffering, innocent lamb. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you think God's big day on His calendar was the day that His innocent Son had to go suffer and walk up the hill of Golgotha with His cross and have wicked men nail Him to a cross and put a spear in His side so us sinners could be saved? Think that's God's big day? You know when God's big day is? You know what? There's more prophecy about one day in the Bible than any other day. You know what day that is? That's the day we're talking about here. That's the day when Jesus comes back, when the Lord Himself descends in wrath upon all mankind. Look in Zephaniah again. You still got it? And so the tribulation, you see where the tribulation is going to end up. Verse 17, "And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath." There it is. "But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy. For He shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." When the Lord comes back, He comes back with fire. And He comes back burning them up. And when He burns them up, He burns them from the inside out. Not the outside in. And they explode. And the picture is grapes exploding. He's trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. That's what He's doing. Isaiah chapter 34. We'll start in the first verse. Isaiah 34 and verse 1. "Come near, ye nations, to hear." Now, who's God talking to here? Israel? The church? Who's He talking to here? He says, "Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people, let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it." This is a message from God to the whole world. Verse 2. "For the indignation of the Lord is upon most of the nations." For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations except the United States of America. No. "For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and His fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them." Wow. He hath utterly destroyed them. Think about that. All the armies of the world are all gathered together at one time. And the Lord utterly destroys them. You know what that means? You know how many walk away? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah, to the horse's bridle. "He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven..." What's that? No? What's the host of heaven? It's the stars. The host of heaven is the stars. Also sometimes called the angels, because stars are what? A picture of angels. So there's where you get that. Where he's called the Lord of hosts. See? Reference to the angels. Here it's talking about the host of heaven. That's the stars. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. You know when that happens? When Jesus comes back. Do you realize during the entire millennium there is no stars? There's a sun and a moon and that's it. It's rolled together as a scroll. Can you ever read over there where they're running into the mountains and into the caves and saying, "Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne"? They can see the third heaven from the earth. The entire universe just goes like this. And the stars of heaven fall as figs from a fig tree. And the earth is a great earthquake like there's never been. And the earth and the third heaven are going... That's what happens when Jesus comes back. That's Bible. Right? Now there's verse after verse on that. And we're not going to look at all that tonight, but as you read your Bible, you'll see that. Verse 4, "And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heaven shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their host shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as the falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edome." That's the land of Edom. That's the land south of the Dead Sea. That's where he's going to put a little lick of fire on the earth during the millennial reign. The land of Edomi. "And upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Edomi. And the unicorns shall come down with them." Interesting. There are unicorns after all. If you have a King James Bible. Now all the others, they know there's no such thing as unicorns, so they took it out of the New Bibles. Because, I mean, the Hebrew says unicorns, but it couldn't really mean that. That's called transliteration. That's not translation. The translation is unicorns. Aren't we going to be on white horses?
Yes.
Well, you know what they look like?
Unicorns.
Yeah. They're unicorns. And Pegasus. They're going to fly. That's what you're going to be riding on when you come back. Yeah. Don't need one. Sure. Yeah. All right. I thought we were riding on horses. I thought that's what the Bible said. And may I say this with all Christian charity, that's a bunch of bull. Verse 7, "And the unicorn shall come down with them and all the bullocks with the bulls." Well, there's your oxen. "And their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. The streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch." What land? The land of Edomi. You read down through there, that's what he's talking about. Be a lake of fire down there where all the unclean spirits and everything are. And where every person that sins in the millennium will be sent to when Christ reigns with a rod of iron. You disobeyed your parents? Say, it won't be that severe. You sure? You keep sin to a minimum, you can have paradise on the earth, you know? Well, You didn't dress modestly? Lake of fire. What word did you say? Lake of fire. And everybody sees him go there. And every time you walk by going to Jerusalem, you see him. Read your Bible? That's what the Bible says. When he says rule with a rod of iron, that's what he means. You know why all the nations are going to rebel at the end of the millennium? That's it. Satan will deceive one more time. All right. Look at it again. Say, who would have a problem with that? Had plans for sin, I guess. Who would have a problem with it? You'll see people living right and doing right. And if they don't, there's no tolerance for it at all. Boom. Done. Execution of judgment swiftly, harshly. All right, anyway, look in Revelation 6. Let's see it again. Verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. That's some earthquake. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man. Listen, we didn't start out as cavemen, but many will end up that way. Hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I'll tell you what, I sure am glad I'm saved. I can't imagine that. That's the day of the Lord. That's when Jesus comes back, buddy. It is worse than you think. It's something. You talk about destruction. You talk about cataclysmic events. Phew. You know, they got these disaster shows on TV now and all that. And you know what they're doing? They're getting everybody ready. They're preparing people for when this stuff starts hitting the fan. They're getting them ready for the tribulation. That's exactly what's going on. They're being prepared. All right. And now we see the day of the Lord also in that day. In reference to the regathering of Israel, look in Isaiah chapter 26. Because what's going to happen is right after Jesus comes back, he's going to gather Israel. They're going to be resurrected as a nation, and they're going to become the head of the nations once again. The Lord is going to keep his word and return to that Jew. Isaiah chapter 26. Starting in verse 16. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. What's the Lord doing in the tribulation? He's chastening the Jew. See? But they pray to him. They seek his face. You look through them psalms, and as you read their psalms, many of those psalms are a reference to those Jews praying in the tribulation. For God to come help them. And save him before it's too late. Verse 17, like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so we have been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have as it were brought forth wind, we have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they rise. arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is of the dew of herbs, the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. So you see, God protecting Israel when he comes back to destroy everybody else, and then he gathers them up, and then he goes back to them. And that's the reference and the promise there. So when does that happen? Look the next verse, chapter 27 and verse 1. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish the dinosaur. Well, that's what they all say, that Leviathan is just a crocodile or hippopotamus or a whale or something. In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. That's what's going on there. That's when the Lord comes back and he's gathering at the same time the nation of Israel. Look down in verse 12. Chapter 27 and verse 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. So we see a regathering of the nation of Israel, God returning to his chosen people. Of course, we know that in Romans 11. We looked at that with the reference to the mysteries. When we looked at that as far as the mystery of Israel, that God has temporarily blinded them until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and then all Israel shall be saved. Amen? And so God has promised to do that, and he will do that. And that is that day in reference to the regathering of Israel at the end of the tribulation. Now, when the Lord comes back, you have a day, which is 1,000 years. Because one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. And that day of the Lord is the day of God's rest. That's the day of rest. That's the Sabbath. That's the sign. See? That he gave them. And that sign was for this period when the Lord shall rule and reign over all the earth for 1,000 years. Look in Isaiah chapter 4, first of all. Isaiah chapter 4. And then after that, we'll look in Isaiah 11. Look in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. That's the day we're talking about. Look in chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That's his return. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Or unicorn. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Notice the earth referenced as a holy mountain. Just something to keep in mind there. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. His what? His rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Patras, from Cush, and from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. There's the regathering as well. And so you'll see, when the Lord comes back, that's called the time of his rest. Look in Zechariah chapter 1. Second to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 1. Right before the book written by that great Italian philosopher Malachi, and right after the book about the ugly woman Haggai. Yes, Zechariah chapter 1. Man, when I first got saved, that's all I called it Malachi. I didn't know. And I read the book of Job, you know. Zechariah chapter 1. And really, I thought Haggai, that must be about an ugly woman or something. All right, Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah 1 and verse 8. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him there were red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? An angel that talketh me said unto me, these are oxen. No, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. The millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Reference to the day of the Lord's rest. And then you have one of the day, part of the day of the Lord, but it's called the day of God. Say, what's that? That's the end of the millennium. That's when the whole thing winds up before God creates a new heaven and a new earth. And that day is called the day of the Lord. And it's also called the Day of God. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. And then we'll open it up for any questions. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Notice the day of the Lord here is in reference to Jesus coming back at the second coming. The day of the Lord here is a reference to the whole thing being destroyed at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of Ed McMahon to bring you the great prize check at your door. That's what they look forward to. They look forward to that big day when all the numbers are the same as the numbers on their piece of paper, so they can win a couple $1,000,000, and then they think everything will be wonderful. No, that's not the answer to your problems.
And the problem is everybody's got their heart on all this stuff, and God just told you what's going to happen to all of it. It's all going to burn. Like Brother X said, it's all going to burn. Say, we got plans, we want to make a new church building, that's good, yeah. We might need that, that's fine. But let's keep in mind, it's all going to burn. All of it. You looking for a new car? Fine, great, go get one. Just remember one thing. It's going to burn. There is nothing that you can get down here that ain't going to burn. It's all going to burn up one day. It's all going to be gone. The only thing that's going to last is what you've done for Jesus Christ in this life. Amen. Period. My job as a pastor is to help you for that day. To help you get all you can that day. Period. That's my job. And the rest of it, phooey, because it's all going to burn up anyway. Amen. Verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we... Now, what does he call it there in verse 12? The day of God. See that? Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So God has promised something new, and then you can get your eyes on the physical. Until then, forget it, because it's all going to burn up. It's not going to last. And that's how the whole thing ends. It ends in fire. The first time it ended in water. And the second time it ended in fire. Then God will make it all new. All right. Any questions on anything that we've covered this evening or on anything else? By the way, got an email today from James Knox, pastor in DeLand, Florida. And a tornado was on a path right towards her house and then went boop, and then went boop, right back onto its path. Went right around their house. Right in there. So that's mercy. When you can look above and you can see that line come down, he's got an overhead view of it. That line's coming down right towards his house and then skips out like that, goes down and comes right back into that line again. Yeah. That's mercy. Yeah. Safety is of the Lord, man. Pray. Pray. All right. Any questions?
I noticed in a lot of the what we call minor prophets, all deal pretty much with the same, the day of the Lord, the rapture. I noticed study of Joel, it's there.
It's the Lord's big day. That's what I'm saying. There's more prophecy on that one event than anything else in the Bible.
Right. Were they contemporaries of each other?
No. They were all different time periods within there, anywhere from about 700 to 400 BC, most of them, primarily. Some a little earlier, like Elijah, but you don't have many books written by them guys. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And those were all the prophets that were rejected by the people. See, they were all negative. They all had a negative message. They didn't make you feel good about yourself. And, you know, they didn't have a lot of positive things to say about mankind and man's fellow love for man and all. They didn't have that. Their message was, you ain't no good. God's going to come and burn you up. And God's sick and tired of your idolatry and everything else. And you better get right. By the way, this Sunday evening, everybody knows there's going to be a Super Bowl going on. So what we're going to be doing is having church Sunday evening. I'll tell you what you can do. It's called a VCR. and tape the game if you really want to see it. But these stinking people, I'm telling you what, this whole thing of, you know, our church is going to, we're all going to get together and watch the Super Bowl together. What in the... God help us. What? Oh, yeah, well, that man makes it okay. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, it just shows you what they worship in America. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be an interesting time for it, wouldn't it?
The best part of the last quarter.
And how many Christians were watching football and how many were listening to the Word of God being preached?
Yeah. All of a sudden, about 10% of either team disappears off the field.
And the whole church is still watching it.
Well, there's a penalty for that, for not having enough men on. Yeah. Yeah. But then again, if one of the refs goes, hey. Could we see that again in slow motion, please? We still can't understand what happened. It just happened so quick. Even in slow motion, it's... It's just sad. I mean, I just listen to that stuff today on the radio and all, and just these churches are having their big Super Bowl parties just so they can get people to come. I mean, it's just, it's pitiful, man, where we're at. And that they don't see anything wrong with it. My goodness, if you want to see the Super Bowl, that just stinking stay at home and watch it. But no, we're going to make the whole church watch it. So let's all go to church so we can watch the Super Bowl at church. Good night, man. People don't see anything wrong with it. That's the amazing thing. So they're not going to watch any of the beer commercials when they come on in the church? Yeah. Sure. That's all it is. Well, we get them in the church, they won't. Just tell them not to. You know, when are you going to watch them when it's not Sunday? What are you going to do then? You can't trust your people not to drink. They're crying out loud.
They need to read the letter in Galatians.
Yeah, they need to read a lot. All right. Any questions on anything? If not, I'll let you go again. The one that we just read there in 2 Peter 3? No, that's the day of God. That's at the end, after Jesus has been reigning for 1,000 years.
Right.
But it's all called the day of the Lord, you see? But the day of the Lord has different names for different parts of the day of the Lord. The day of God, the day of the Lord's rest, see, the day of the Lord's wrath, the day of the Lord's, the day of trouble, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord Jesus. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Well, the sun is turned into sackcloth. The moon in the blood. There's no light at all. That's why when the Lord comes, he said, as the lightning shineth out of the east unto the west, even so also the coming of the Son of Man be. It says that every eye shall see him. How does every eye see him all the way around the world? Well, when the whole earth's in darkness, and the brightness of his coming being above the brightness of the sun, you'll see him. They'll all see him. They'll see him sitting on his throne before he comes back. Yeah. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. That's what they're saying on the earth as they're running into the caves and in the mountains. What else do you take from that? Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of verses on that, not one or two. Bunch on that very thing right there. And during that time, you got the stars falling, the earth shaking. There's thunders and lightnings and hail mingled with fire. And a great voice from heaven. And after that thing happens, there's silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And the Lord just sitting there while they're running into the mountains and into the caves and gathering all their armies. And the Lord just sits there for 30 minutes. And then He gets up and says, I shall keep silent no longer. Boom! And He comes. And when He comes, He speaks the word. And the word He speaks is burn, baby, burn.
Now, it also talks about the thunder. Yep. Is that like the other state you're hearing the thunder?
Yeah, thunder and lightning and an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a cataclysmic event. Men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking upon those things that are coming upon the earth. They're dropping dead of heart attacks. They're in such fear. Yeah.
Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet and sound the alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about the day, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people, strong. There hath not been ever light, neither shall there be any more after, even to the years of any generation.
Mm-hmm. It's one day above every other day. And it ain't Super Bowl Sunday.
No.
It's when Jesus comes back. That's why there's more prophecy on that day than anything else. And that's what we got saved from.
So who is alive in the millennium?
Who is alive in the millennium is those that survive the tribulation. When the Lord comes back, He burns up all the armies. Those that have died by the plagues and everything else aren't there. And it's very few people. Probably a couple hundred thousand. Maybe more, maybe a million. Which sounds like a lot. But when you figure right now there's over 6 billion people, that's quite a downsizing. But of course they'll increase and multiply greatly during the millennial reign of Christ. Because men will return to the age that they had when He takes that curse off. And they'll be living to the same age they did before the flood. To 900 to up to 969 years old. Sir?
Are those the ones that are beheaded in the tribulation?
Who?
The group that are alive. Who's going to make it through the tribulation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just endured. Yeah, they just endured to the end. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if you endure to the end, you'll be saved. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, let's just say there's nothing that says they won't. So I assume they would. I haven't seen anything where God takes that curse away. Men are still having to till the ground and all, but God just blesses it as far as how much is you're getting out of it. You're going to get a lot more out of it. He is going to take. He's going to get rid of the weeds and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You've got the church that's raptured, and then you've got Israel raptured at the end of the tribulation. There's a rapture, and then you got the Lord coming back and destroying
a bunch of people, and then a few that make it through, and then those from those nations that make it through are judged. All the dead that have been on the earth since the days of Noah are resurrected and stand before Christ to be judged. And they're either cast literally, like Jesus said, bind them hand and foot and cast them in the lake of fire. See? Fear not him who can destroy the body only, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. He's going to bind them up, and angels are going to cast them into that little lake of fire in the land of Edom. No, there's going to be people that make it through physically. Those are the ones that are going to live during the millennium. But what I'm saying is there's also a judgment at that time for all those that have rejected Christ during the last 2,000 years. Yes, but they're in heaven. They come back with some kind of new bodies or something. Or to rule and reign with Christ, as we do. Mm-hmm. Right. In some effect, yes. Yes. To be able to claim the redemptive power of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, you have to do animal sacrifices in the millennium. Just as they did them in the Old Testament, and they counted towards something that would come in the future, they'll do them in the millennium in remembrance of what was done in the past.
So they'll keep the law because of the blood that was shed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Law is good. Nothing wrong with the law. There's something wrong with man. There's nothing wrong with the law. Like today, they go to hell. Then they'll be resurrected when Christ comes back. And they'll be judged and they'll be thrown in the lake of fire, or as he calls it, outer darkness, because nobody on the earth right now can see where the lake of fire is. So it's called outer darkness, or a furnace of fire. That's where they're cast. Yeah. Now, what a lot of people teach is that there's just one general judgment at the end called the Great White Throne. That's not Bible. Okay? There's a judgment when Jesus Christ comes back. There's books opened. There's a resurrection. Right? Look in John chapter 5. I'll just give you a few quick verses on it, but there's a lot in the Bible on it. This is one of Brother Ray's weird teachings, I guess you could call it, but his Bible. Let's see where to start here. John 5, verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Reference to what? A resurrection? Okay. Verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Judgment in reference to what? A resurrection. Right? Y'all got that. Okay. How many people are resurrected at the great white throne of judgment? You have no heaven, you have no earth. What are you talking about, a resurrection? You can't have one. You have the souls of all those that stand before the Lord.
And some will enter eternity and some won't. But there's no resurrection. You need earth to be resurrected from. If you don't have a heaven and an earth, you can't have a resurrection. Verse 22, "For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." And we don't go to that judgment. See? "Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Okay, and now is, in a reference to spiritual. You're dead in trespasses and sins. You hear the voice of the Son of God, and you get saved. You're now living, right? So you're resurrected now, right? Okay, but it's also a future event, a literal one, that will come to pass. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation." Verse 25, "Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead," the who? "The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also." In reference to what? A resurrection. You want to tell me when that is? When has that happened? Because he is the Son of Man. Physical, literal ruler reigning on a physical earth. Verse 28. "Marvel not..." Are you reading this? You need to read this. Look at verse 28. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which many that are in the graves..." When's that hour coming? "All that are" where? "In the graves." Let me ask you a question. When the Lord comes back at the end of the tribulation and then judges, are all those that he slew and all those bodies that are destroyed when he came back at the second advent, are they all in graves? No. They won't be judged until the end of the millennium at the great white throne. But those that are in the graves, that's why it says the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. It had nothing to do with those that are saved and those that are lost all having to wait until the end of the millennium. "Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father," and he ain't going to wait another 1,000 years to get that glory. Yes. Yeah, you can't be resurrected. "Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." It's got to be planted before it can come back up. That's when we said, "All that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Did good or you did evil? Nothing there about believing on Christ. See? That's not for those in the church age. That's for those maybe in the tribulation, or maybe before the church age, but not in the church age. You're not saved by doing good or evil in the church age. You're saved by whether you believed on Christ or not. The evil is not believing on Christ, and the good is believing on him. "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Look at it again. Look over there in 2 Timothy. I think it's 2 Timothy. Verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge..." Now, who's he going to judge? The quick, the living, and the dead. "At his appearing and his kingdom." He judges them when he comes back to the earth. Not at the end of the millennium.
Look at it again over in the book of Revelation. Chapter 11. Revelation 11. Verse 15. Revelation 11:15. The seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell down upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because Thou hast taken Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. And He's come back. He's taken over. Now He's reigning. What's He going to do? Verse 18. And the nations were angry. Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. When's that? When Jesus comes back, is when the dead are judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, them that fear thy name, both small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was seen in heaven. There was seen in this temple the ark of His testament, and there was lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Second Advent. That's at the end of the second Advent. Jesus Christ has a resurrection and a judgment. Look at it in Daniel 12. Daniel chapter 12. These are just a few off the cuff, but listen, you read those parables about Jesus Christ, and He talks about at the end of that thing, when He comes back to reign, and He takes that net and He brings it to the shore, and He divides the good from the bad and casts the bad away. He shall burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. It's all about when He comes back to reign on the earth. It's not talking about at the end of the millennium. You know what happened? Somebody did a chart, and then everybody's been interpreting their Bible by a chart. Yeah, they're going by Larkin's dispensational truth and Schofield's rightly dividing, and they're using those charts, and then they're interpreting their Bible based on the chart instead of interpreting the Bible based on what it says. Daniel chapter 12. Now, it doesn't matter either way in the sense they're going to go to lake fire. When is just about the Lord getting glory when it's due Him. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up. Well, that's the archangel. That's the angel over Israel. That time. When's he going to stand up? Tribulation. To defend Israel. Remember him over there in Revelation? He's fighting the dragon. Fighting his angels. The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. There it is. Tribulation period, such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book, Israel, the elect. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. A resurrection and a judgment. When? At the end of the tribulation. That's the context. Verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many the righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So you see that thing over and over and over and over again. All right, where the judgment is taking place when the Lord comes back onto the earth. I know it's a... Yeah, Daniel 7 talks about it too. Look in Daniel 7. Daniel 7, he's going through the kingdoms, starting with the Media-Persia kingdom and going all the way down to the Antichrist kingdom. And Antichrist kingdom is covered there in verse 8 of Daniel 7. See that thing, the horns and all that? That's the Antichrist kingdom, a mouth speaking great things. Now look in verse 9. How does the Antichrist kingdom end? Verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like pure wool. You know how Jesus shows up in Revelation 1? Just like that. See? When he comes back, that's how he's coming back. His throne was like the fiery flame, his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. What's he doing? He's burning them up when he comes back. Now, what happens after he comes back? Thousand thousands ministered unto him. There we are. And 10,000 times 10,000s stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. That's when Jesus comes back. That's before the millennial reign. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even to the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. That's us. You know what we're going to look like? Like the Son of Man, like him. That's us. Now, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. Yes. No, the wheels have to do with them cherubim. The cherubim are surrounding the Lord, see? You read about those wheels with the cherubim and also with chariots. So, yeah. Look there in verse 17. The great beasts were four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom even forever and ever. That's us, right? Okay. What did he just say? Verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. They brought him near before him. And there was given him, the Son of Man, dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's us. We're ruling and reigning with Christ. Look, verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast and of Christ's kingdom, his ten horns. See that? Verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given. Well, that's interesting. Is the Lord going to judge them all by himself? And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High with the Lord. Yeah. Now, what'd you say about my Lord? You know what you all are right now? You're witnesses. In more than way than one. Right now, you're witnessing to people about Jesus Christ and their salvation. Those that reject, those that make fun of you, those that gave you a hard time, they will stand before you one day and you will witness against them.
Yep. We'll basically be prosecuting attorneys and Christ will be
judged. Yep. Now, I told you the truth and I gave you that track and I told you how to be saved and you didn't believe, did you? But I, you know, here's Charles Darwin coming up there and Karl Marx and all. It's going to be a time. Yeah, it's going to be something. It's all coming out in the wash. It's all going to come out. Isn't that good? All right. Mm-hmm. Everything. So that's that judgment. Yeah. All right, we're done. For those that are destroyed in... at the end of the tribulation, at the second advent, and for all those that die and that are alive and live during the millennial reign of Christ. Yeah. Because they're judged by their works at the great white throne. They're judged by their works, see? And how you're saved in the millennium is by your works, period.
See? And that's how they're judged at the great white throne. Because they hadn't been judged yet. You understand what you've got? I'll give you this. Look over there in Revelation 20. You've got all the data. We're not going to get in a whole study on this, but I'll just throw this out there and we look at it in more in depth another time. But you've got all the people when they die in the millennium. Everything, there's no faith by it for anything. Everything is by sight in the millennium. You understand? How do you have faith? Jesus is reigning on the earth. Yeah. We're reigning with Him on the earth. There's no faith for anything. When people die, they go to a literal lake of fire on the earth if they've done wrong. And you see them. Well, how about for the people that are saved? When they die. They ain't going to heaven. Why would they do that? Jesus is on the earth. They ain't going down to Abraham's bosom because paradise has already moved. Well, I know one thing for sure. Jesus did something one time that was real interesting. He walked on water. On the Sea of Galilee. You know, when that rich man was down there in hell and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, you know what he asked Lazarus to do? He wanted water. The saints that are up in heaven, you know what it says over there in Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 4? It's a sea of glass. They're on water. You know where they'll be? Here's the Dead Sea. You go straight north. It's the Sea of Galilee. Up, down. And all the saved will be walking on the water on the Sea of Galilee. Revelation 20, you got it? Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to whether they believed on Christ or not. No, according to the works. That's how you judge from the millennium. See? Now watch it. Verse 13. You watching it? You reading it? Read it. Look. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, the saved, and death and hell, the lost, gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And so God makes a new heaven and a new earth. Is there going to be any death anymore? Huh? When He makes that new heaven and new earth, is there going to be any death anymore? Look what it says, chapter 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. There's no more need for a place for the dead to go. You have a new heaven and a new earth, and you have eternal life for all. All right, let's go ahead and close there. Brother Charles, we close in prayer, please.